All right, everybody, welcome to People's Rights Meeting here in Victory Park, Pasadena. It's great to have everybody here. Our meeting seems to be growing, so that's a great sign. So today we have a speaker. Her name is Anne Marie Simoneau, and she represents Californians for School Choice. Is that correct? Okay. Californians for School Choice, and she's going to be telling us about that and what's involved there. But I wanted to point to our lovely Constitution, and I want to put out a little challenge to everybody. Can anybody find anywhere in the Constitution where it says the federal government gets to take over our education system?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know of any provision in the Constitution that says they get to run the schools, but this is something that Alexander Hamilton said in the Federalist, number 45, if you're interested. It says, the powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. Those which are to remain in the state governments are numerous and indefinite. So if it's not written in here, the federal government can't do it. They're not supposed to do it. And I'll give you just a quick example of that. If you look in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, it says that the federal government is not allowed to own land outside of Washington, D.C., unless it's approved of by the state, wherever it is. And then only if it's an important installation like a military base or something like that. And if the state decides that they don't want that base there, they can tell the feds to leave. So the power is in the state governments, not the federal government. We should remember that. But so I don't want to take up too much time. I'd like to introduce you to Anne Marie Simoneau. Thanks.
Hi, I really want to thank you guys for inviting me to speak. And, you know, school choice has been floating around for years and years. There's been attempts to get school choice implemented in California and throughout the country for a long, long time. To the point where it seems like the public school system has kind of co-opted the term school choice. So lately there's been some talk about trying to come up with a different term than school choice for what we're trying to accomplish. So I'm from Californians for School Choice. We've been around a while. I started working there in late December 2020. We did, most of you are probably familiar with the first go-around we had with the Education Freedom Act initiative attempt to get it on the ballot for 2022. We didn't get enough signatures. This time, we're doing it again because it needs to be done. It's the right thing to do. So we've gotten quite a bit more organized and a little bit more structured in terms of how we want to accomplish getting enough signatures to get on the ballot. So for those of you that aren't super familiar with the initiative, I'll just kind of run down the bullet points real quick, and then later if you guys have questions, you're welcome to ask. So what the Education Freedom Act does is it creates an educational savings account for every K through 12 student in the state. Doesn't matter, as long as they're in the system, they can get into this. They can take advantage of the of this particular project. So, whether they're, you know, citizens or not, I mean, we're not going down that road of trying to fight, you know, having illegal citizens, you know, or illegal people not getting it. So, anybody that's enrolled in the school system has access to this program once it gets implemented. So what it does is it takes money that's... It takes... So what it does is it takes money that's normally allocated to the public school district for that child. Probably want to cut this out.
Just pause for a second.
Yeah,
let's
thanks.
Just pause for a second until they're gone. Oh, he's gone.
Oh, he's gone. Okay, great. So anyway, what it does is it takes money that's normally allocated to the school district for a child, and it puts it, it credits to their educational savings account. And right now that's probably in the vicinity of like $17,000. And it's the money's taken from Prop 98. So, you know, one of the arguments is, well, it's going to take money away from the public schools. And, yeah, it will to some degree, but they will still be getting some money regardless because of taxes that are being paid in that district and that kind of thing. So so then what that does, it allows the parent to choose the school that they want to send their child to. That can be, if they and it's an opt-in program, so if they want to keep their child in public school, they can. Or they can go to, they can put their child in a private school, a parochial school, or any other kind of religious school. Homeschooling is covered, but there's a caveat with homeschooling, which I'll get into in a little bit. But it gives parents the money to be able to put their child, you know, so many parents, I'm sure, want to put their children in a private school. I happen to be Catholic, and I'm definitely in favor of parochial schools growing. Here in California, they're closing them, and, you know, that's not a good thing. So a lot of parents, once they have the money, they would be able to put their child into, you know, a parochial school, private school. What this is going to do is create competition. There's been research done that's shown that states that have implemented school choice, the public schools are actually doing better now because they have to compete for their students, you know, to be able to keep their students. So it's an opt-in. Okay, so money follows the student up until the age of 30. That money can be used. That's accumulated each year. The student's account is credited with the amount of money for that year that would have normally gone to the public school. And that money can be used going forward for any accredited school. And that's another thing. The private schools and parochial schools, they all have to be accredited all the way up to the age of 30. So they could use it for college. They could, if they have money left over, they use it for college or vocational school, trade school, that kind of thing. It also covers educational expenses like books and that as well. Homeschooling, the situation with homeschooling is if the money gets credited to the student savings account, but until they're in a situation where they're using the, where they are enrolled in an accredited school, they can't use that money. So, but it, once again, it accumulates going forward, and they would have money later down the line to be able to use that for an accredited school. So that's pretty much in a nutshell as far as the Education Freedom Act itself. So this time our overall strategy for collecting signatures, last time it was strictly on the shoulders of volunteers. And we did not have, we just didn't get enough signatures. It just didn't happen. So this time what we're doing is where there's four legs to collecting signatures. There's the volunteer side of it, which is why I'm here. You know, I don't want to say I'm the volunteer coordinator, but pretty much, I'll forego the title, but pretty much that's what I'm doing. So, and there's some other people involved as well in doing some volunteer, recruiting volunteers. So, so we got the volunteer side. We've got paid signature gatherers, direct mail, and then the downloadable petition. And that's going to be really, really helpful. because obviously this is a statewide initiative. We want to get as many people on board as possible. Mike Alexander, who's president of Californians for School Choice, his focus this time around, he wants to focus on the most populated counties in Southern California, which pretty much is L.A., Orange County. Those are the two biggies. Riverside, San Bernardino, Ventura, Santa Barbara, and interestingly, San Diego is not one of them, but it... Well, once again, that'll have to be covered as well. So, and it will be. So we need 1.2 million signatures. So for each leg of the program, we need to collect 300,000 signatures. So for, and that's doable. I mean, for volunteers, that's doable throughout the state. And let's see. Volunteer strategy. So our initial, what we want to do is, once we do get the okay from the state Secretary of State that we're good to go, at that point is when we start being able to collect signatures. So at that point, what we want to do is have one weekend that we have as a kickoff event, where we have a big kickoff event. We want to be able to start strong, collect as many signatures as we possibly can that first weekend. And primarily where our focus is going to be is on churches. Now, I've run into people here and there who don't go to church and saying, well, what if you don't go to church? What? I said, well, that weekend, pick some place, Walmart, whatever, you know, and focus on gathering signatures for that weekend, and just do a blitz, you know. So a lot of what I've been trying to do lately is recruit team leaders for each and every church, as many churches as humanly possible, primarily in those six counties that I mentioned, but also statewide. I mean, I'm working with people that are up in Sacramento, Santa Clara, there's just different parts of the state who are really on fire and they really want this to work. So I'm working with them in terms of being able to get set up so that they can be really successful in gathering as many signatures as possible starting on that weekend. Mike also wants to focus on schools and collecting signatures from parents who are picking up their kids from school during the week. So weekends, we're focused, especially that first weekend, and that's not the end of it, obviously. I mean, that's just the beginning. We want to make that clear with people that that the signature gathering effort is, we're starting on that weekend. I'm sorry I'm not looking at you guys. I keep looking over here, so I should be looking at the camera over here. But we want to, you know, we want to have... Like I said, we're trying to recruit team leaders for each church. We want each team leader to pull together their own team for that church and gather signatures, just do this, you know, participate in this kickoff weekend and go forward from there. We also need teams to go, and some people are more interested in doing churches, others are more interested in doing the schools. You know, we want to develop teams to get out, and you can collect quite a few signatures in a pretty short period of time in front of schools with parents, you know, when they're picking up their kids, you know. You just swarm in and grab them all, you know, before the kids come out, because once that happens, they're gone. That's it. And let's see. Trying to think of what else there is that... some of the things that come up... Well, I mentioned that it would introduce competition. Charter schools likely... Since the teachers' unions are trying to get rid of the charter schools as well, they will likely flip to private schools. And there's going to be more private schools coming up as well. It's just going to create a real competitive environment, you know. For the Catholic schools, I talked to a gal in Arizona who's been very involved with that, and she says it's just been hugely successful, that the parochial schools are thriving out there, which is great to hear. Let's see. Funds would be managed by a trust. That's a question that seems to come up quite a bit. So in the state, the whole initiative is written to keep the state out of education of the kids. They cannot interfere. Matter of fact, in their own legislature, and we have an FAQ, hopefully it got handed out to you, that bullet points the things in the state legislature that keep the state from getting their fingers into the curriculum or into the money or any of that kind of thing. So they cannot do that. And I think that's pretty much it. Well, benefits. We'll introduce. I think I covered all that. So I think that's it. I think I covered most of the important points. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, folks. Thank you, Anne-Marie, for that. Appreciate it. So Anne-Marie is going to stick around, and we're going to have a Q&A session right now. So as I said, try to limit it to a quick single question and let Anne-Marie answer, and we'll just do it that way. If you want to ask a second question, get back in line. Thanks. Come on up.
What I'm not hearing is a clear understanding of why we want to do this.
Why we want to do it. Well, I think if there's a time to get it done, it's now. You've got parents out there that are showing up at their school board meetings and, you know, raising heck, and, you know, deservedly, they need to be. And that's one of the other focuses of gathering signatures and recruiting volunteers has been to hit some of these board meetings. And I've actually met with some folks out in Glendale and some folks out in Palmdale and that kind of thing. So So you're saying I'm not addressing your question. So why are we doing it?
Why do this?
Because it's, well, number one, for me.
It's obvious to you, but why should the public want to do
it? Don't know.
Come up to the mic.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's, if you're, all right, so the bottom line, it gives parents choices. If they want to keep their child in a woke school somewhere, fine. That they have that right. But if they want their kid in a school where they're going to get some kind of moral foundation and they're going to get a real education, they're going to come out of school being able to read, write, and do math, then that's why we need to do this.
Well, so the presumption is that none of that is happening now.
Exactly.
But you're not stating that.
Okay.
So I want you to get hard on that point.
I gotcha. Okay.
Bam.
So,
why do we have to do this?
All right, so California right now is like 47th in the country in terms of, what's the term I'm trying to look for? As far as their students being able to come out of school, you know, being able to function in society. I was actually watching a really interesting video on Epic Times. If you guys want to catch it, it's really good. It's on Epic Times TV. They're interviewing Gloria Romero, who I'm sure you've heard of. She was really good, you know, and she was saying that these right now, 38% of kids are coming out of school not proficient in math, and that 2/3 of kids are coming out of school not being able to read and write proficiently. So, you know, that's why we need to do this, you know. Now, her focus is on, you know, I mean, she's really, really clear that the teachers' unions are the Goliath. But she says there's a lot of Davids out there that can, you know, attack that, you know. So I'd love to know who they are. but school choice, I mean, is really... I mean, and it's already happening. I mean, She was saying that 200, that LAUSD, and it's LAUSD is the worst. It is absolutely the worst. They have lost 200,000 students so far. Now this is impacting their, you know, their income, and they, you know, when she was talking about how if this continues, it's going to fail, and I'm going, yes, let it fail, you know. Yeah, I mean, that's why we need to be doing this. So,
you know, it it seems to me that just like in the medical industry, the educational industry looks at our kids as more of a dollar sign rather than our future. So I was wondering if you could just speak to that for a second.
Well, that largely has to do with this, with the teachers' unions, you know, and their focus being on, it's more, their focus is more on the adults than it is on the children. There's, I mean, they just had a contract for, what was it? The teachers got a 20% increase in their salaries, bringing them up to about $104,000. A year, that's pretty darn good. I've never seen that kind of money myself. You know, anything I've done, but you know, and that the custodial workers and I'm not sure at SEIU, that's their union. They've come up 30%, and I don't really have a position on. I don't begrudge them that, because, you know, I mean, usually they're the most low paid to begin with, but still, I mean, the focus is more on the adults than it is on the kids, you know, so.
Question. Being a parent, you know, they have 3 kids in the school district, mm-hmm. educating. I was in the PTA all the time, PTA trying to, the organization that have the school, you know, for the parents mm-hmm. to participate over there. In many gatherings that we have with the parents over there, they say that the it was much better the educational system inside the school district that we have if they are trying to find some other schools around because of the way how they teach in the school. They have a lot of programs, different kind of programs. How we guarantee that when you privatize the school system, you know, the private emphasize a lot of more and make some profit out of the people. Mm-hmm. But in the school district, if we have a good direction, I think they emphasize in the education. And it know what that, as a matter of fact, we've been having a lot of the scientists at MIT or UPL that they come from the school district. You know, they teach calculus over there like Japan and some other countries. You know, in high school, specialize in this kind of how you warranty that when we have a private, you know, school, I mean, private school, yeah, or Catholic school or other, they're going to give that kind of education.
Hi, I've worked to raise hundreds of signatures previously on this effort, mm-hmm. and the question I have is, are you a 501c3 nonprofit so that you can take money in and pay for people to go out and get signatures on this?
Yes.
Volunteers are great, and I plan to help as much as I can, but are you a nonprofit? Get that donation money in there.
Yes, we are, yeah. It's a
501c3.
I think we're a PAC, actually. 501c4, I think.
C4, the donors don't get to write it off of their taxes, but you're a nonprofit as far as an organization goes.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm back at the why. Why do they need to read and write? Why do they have to get any other education than they're getting now? Because everything's visual and it's all on computers. Is there a political impact? Is there a financial impact? If so, who does that impact fall on?
Well, I think...
So, the motive... You got to find something there that is clearly indicated to the parents who say they just, you know, well, he's getting an education, and they're, you know, they're going through school, and they're doing fine. I don't have to do anything about that. But They don't understand why you need to read, why you need an education, what's happening now that's causing the problem. You know what I mean? I mean, there's some real hard facts that have to be exposed, but you're not really getting into the motivational side of it. You're just presuming that we all understand that we should do this.
Well, I don't know. I look out there and I see parents that are very, very upset with what's happening in their schools, that with all this woke emphasis. But you're, well, I don't know. I mean, it seems to me it's not getting any easier to function out in the world and without an education. You know, I mean, there's still new technical jobs, and I mean, that's constantly changing. So, yeah, we need people that are educated. Maybe, I mean, reading, writing, and arithmetic are basics, but hopefully you want to educate people. You want to create enthusiasm for learning. Number one, if you got to be able to read, write, and do math, if you want to continue to learn, you can't do that without it. But to inspire, I don't know, to me, good teachers inspire their students to want to learn, you know, and to contribute to their society, and to contribute and have a moral basis, you know, and a sense of responsibility to the community, which is not being taught. Everybody's a victim in school. You know, there's a lot of indoctrination that's going on at school, and you guys know that. I mean, it's like, it's something, actually, I was reading an article the other day that talked about it's not just all about school choice. It really isn't. It's about getting this woke mentality, this irresponsibility, this lack of accountability for people's personal lives. It's got to include that kind of thing, you know. I could talk about that for a long time, I guess, but it's like, it's not just school, it's parents as well, and what's missing in the culture today, you know.
Well, when I was in high school, I was in the class of 1984. No relationship to George Orwell's book, but I had a class where I had an excellent English teacher, and he required all of us to read from Shakespeare on one particular day. And this one girl in my class, she said, "No, I don't want to read. I don't want to read that." And the teacher said, "Well, you have to pass this class, so go ahead." And she refused, and then the whole class and the teacher had the realization at the same moment that she didn't know how to read, and she was a sophomore in high school. And so ever since then, I've thought that our school system, the way it is just horrible. So I was wondering if you could tell us your personal motivation. Why are you doing this?
I consider myself a pretty good Catholic. You know, I try to live my faith. I believe personally that what's missing in this culture is God, period. And I feel that, you know, any effort to... And I'm involved in some other things as well that have to do with mental health and spiritual help for people who with mental health issues and that kind of thing. But it's like, it's, you can't, it's kind of, those kind of things are tied in together, you know. But it's, you know, getting kids out of the hands of government is a big deal, you know, to me. And it's like, we're fighting a big... you know, an uphill battle in a lot of these areas, that's for sure, not just school choice, you know, or not just education. But, you know, for me, abortion, yeah, I mean, probably I shouldn't be bringing this stuff up, I don't know, abortion and school choice are the two, and education are the two most critical things in terms of bringing children up to be moral and contributing members in society, you know? And I hope I answered your question. I don't know.
Why do you think the state-run schools are failing to do that?
Because their focus is primarily... And I'm not saying that all public schools are that way, because I talk to people who say, hey, my kid's school is pretty good, you know? I'm sorry, I got distracted. What was your question again? I'm sorry.
My question was, why do you think that the state-run schools are so miserably failing to teach morals and teach just the basics?
Well, all you have to do is look at statistics. I mean, it tells you right there what's... Yeah, so anyway, I mean, I guess it depends on where you're coming from. I mean, I think that there are people who are socialists and communist-oriented who are quite happy with the way things are going. They're bringing up activists, you know, but they're not... But children not being educated in a way to... be contributing members of a free society. They're not constitutionalists. I mean, let's face it, they're not. So, I mean, their values are completely different from ours. And that's something that had to sink in for me at one point. It's like, they don't think like I do. They don't value the same things I do, you know? It's like, so it really comes down to that, you know? Which set of values is going to went out here, you know, and that's really, you know, that's my focus anyway. So,
you know, the experience, the history tell us this country was the most successful country. We left the European behind, far, far away. We invent the majority thing that makes the society, the understanding that we have now, the level of understanding that we have now, the technology that we have now. It's based in this country constitution, where we separated religion with the state. The state says, no, you cannot kill any more people. Tell the religion. And that's why our country start to evolve the way how it's been. You know, we left these people, Nikola Tesla, all this kind of great mind to expand the knowledge of humanity. I think that and the state responsibility, that's why we are here, because the state responsibility is to garden that things, to make the society better. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have to emphasize and change those people who make the system bad, you know, in the school system. But make this kind of choices that we have when we heard in the news in French, you know, only 300 priests over there from the Catholic religion raped 350,000 kids about 2 years ago. No, it was public. It's not my thing. Here in the United States, the Catholic religion abused 40,000 kids back in 1992. You had to pay $5 billion, you know. Right. So this is experience that we have. So to emphasize and see how we could put the right people in those places over there. But the government is guarded. The function of the government, that's why we vote and that's why we're here, is to stay up, to respond to the need of the society. Think, you know, my question is, why we have to go trying to destroy the system that we had that been working for hundreds of years? Yeah. You know, the school system has been working. That's what we left behind all the countries.
Okay. I'm not quite sure what I'm answering. Okay.
Didn't hear a question.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so in California, you know, you got these kiddos getting 72 injections, autism rates going up the wazoo, everyone's getting a thanks for coming trophy, people are arguing over how many genders there are, you know, et cetera, et cetera. what do you think? Do you think there's an agenda there?
And yeah, and if, definitely.
And if there is, what is it? And where does this agenda come from? Because it's around the world. It's not just America.
Right.
All the schools around the world are just going woke.
Well, you're right. Well, I think that there's just a huge push for globalists to, you know, take over countries, you know, especially the United States. China, to me, is an issue, too, which is kind of interesting because there's a fellow that came up to me the other day and says, you know, China's getting their mitts into private schools all over the country. So that's something.
This country,
yes. So that's another thing that's, yeah, it's just coming at us from all angles, you know. And, you know, I have, well, anyway, it's a globalist agenda. I mean, and we're, once again, you know, I don't think it's hopeless. I really don't. I think enough people stand up, just like the parents are doing in these school board meetings, you know, all over the country. I mean, you get Moms for Liberty and Moms for America, and you know, you've got a ton of different disorganizations. You got all kinds of organizations of citizens who are fed up, you know. So that's what it takes, is to stand up and not let these people roll up. They're loud. They're really loud, you know. And we've been quiet for too long, really. I think it's time.
How can we get loud and help this effort? Tell us how we can get involved and help you.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for bringing that up. Okay, so I have a sign-up sheet here. If you want to volunteer, if you just want to be kept in touch with, you know, that's great. You just sign up, and we'll put you in our database, and you'll get our emails, and hopefully at some point we'll snag you to volunteer. So... but right now we really are like focusing on this first kickoff weekend. We are asking people to become a team leader if you for that weekend to take on your church, and coordinate, pull together your own team of people within your circle of friends and family and what have you, and collect signatures on that weekend as a start. Like I said, there's a ton of work to do. But it would be a really good, strong start. And oh, another thing I wanted to bring up, too. Technically, we have 180 days to collect signatures. We want to compress that down to about 60 days. We want to get as many signatures as possible within that two-month period. It's too easy, and I see it in myself. It's like, oh, we got 180 days. That's great. You know, we can take our time. No. We really want to do a big push. I think it's easier to organize people and get people committed for a shorter time span, you know, and have a more intense effort, you know, to get out there.
When is the kickoff weekend, and when does all this get started, and when does it end? When is our last moment to get involved?
Right. It's contingent on the initiative getting sent up to the Secretary of State. Then there's 45 days for that to have for turnaround. And then we will set it. So it's probably around mid-September or so that we would be doing that weekend. Mid-September to the last weekend in September, something like that. So, yeah.
You mentioned something was happening in the city of Glendale. I was just curious to if you could elaborate a little bit more on what happened there.
Sure. There was confrontation in front of the Glendale board meeting. And... One of the things we were kind of laughing about it the other day is, you don't mess with Armenian men, period. You know, they are there. They're going to take care of their families, you know, come hell or high water. So it was kind of neat. And I got to meet some of these folks, you know, and I'm actually going to be working with one of the gals that was there involved in, you know, in the confrontations that were going on there. And... So, yeah, and there's a lot of that stuff going on. I mean, Temecula, Chino Hills, there's another one, too. They're happening. They're popping up here in Southern California, you know, not to mention the rest of the country, you know.
Well, Glendale's encouraging because it's right here.
Right.
So it's
absolutely
right in the smack dab middle of L.A. So.
Palos Verdes is another one that's been kind of in the news there. So,
can you provide some details on exactly what the brouhaha was about in Glendale? You know, exactly what happened. What were people doing? What were people saying? More information would be good.
Yeah, I don't have all the details on that. I know it had something to do with the whole gender equity thing, and which was not going over well with the parents at all. So,
well, the whole woke agenda, by the way, is failing miserably. But how will school choice really hit the pocketbook of the state-run schools? Can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, I think it already is. Like I was saying, there's for LAUSD, for example, there's 200,000 students that have left. And this is happening all over the state. Homeschooling is huge, has exploded. And there's all kinds of there are organizations that are very supportive of parents doing. And it's gotten really creative. They've got, like, pods, which I think are really cool, the whole idea. And they get accredited with their pod. They get a teacher to come in and teach, you know, a group of students. And I think it's pretty neat, you know. I mean, it's gotten really creative. But, yeah.
Okay, one last time, if you wouldn't mind, just tell us when the big kickoff weekend is, how we can all get involved, and what we can do to help.
Okay, so like I said, the kickoff weekend is probably going to happen in September at some point, and that's about as, I hate to be vague. We did have it scheduled for the last weekend in August, but that's definitely going to be pushed off at this point. So, and I can't give you a definite date at this point. So,
all right.
But yeah, but just signing up, being willing to be a team leader. If you already know what church you would want to do, or Walmart or whatever, if you could indicate that on the when you sign up on the sheet there.
Okay.
You know, and then we'll be in touch. Definitely, I'll be in touch with you.
Okay. We'll try to put links to those documents up on our website also for you.
Great. And also, if you guys have ideas, I mean, that's one of the neat things I've been is I go to these events and stuff. People go, yeah, we can do this and we can do that. I'm going, go for it. I mean, you got great ideas, you know. I mean, matter of fact, this whole school board thing wasn't something that we had thought of, at least for me anyway, I hadn't thought about early on. But one of the guys says, yeah, we need to hit school board meetings, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, there that's you got pissed off parents there.
I think the parents are on fire all over the country.
Exactly.
I've seen some really impressive outbursts, I guess, in front of school boards.
Oh, yeah. So really neat stuff.
But Anne-Marie, I wanted to thank you for coming to People's Rights. I really appreciate you coming.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.